Barrett Jones. Welcome inside the game in Tuscaloosa.
Ryan?
Yes, good evening.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Sorry, good.
I'm having trouble getting you.
No. You sound crystal clear. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I hear that AJ was already on your show spreading propaganda.
I will neither deny that or confirm that.
Well, I see that you're going to have kind of him in the feature position, kind of bump me back to 8:30. I guess that's how it's going to be now.
Now, whoa. Barrett Jones. I received a text this morning. I was covering 1308. That's 1 o'clock military time. 8:30. So I would love to be able to run with you just whenever your time allows.
I'm just giving you a hard time,
but,
Ryan.
I'm gonna give you a hard time now, Barrett. Okay.
So all right, hit me.
All right. AJ McCarron follows the game. Okay, on Twitter. Can I get Barrett Jones to follow the game?
I will be following the game within 30 minutes. I apologize. That's an oversight on my part.
Thank you. I'm just teasing with you. I'm just aggravating you. I'm just teasing. But anyway, Barrett, hey, listen, you hit me with a curveball. I figured I'd hit you with one as well. But Southern Miss, Alabama, your analysis post-Southern Miss as we get ready for those Florida Gators.
Well, I thought we were a little bit sloppy, to be honest, and I think that's no secret. And, just kind of one of those games where we just took a little bit of time to get going, but that's just kind of a part of these games, and I think what I liked that I saw is that, we kind of came out in the second half a little more purpose and mission and really played pretty well. So, no glaring errors, just a little bit of a lack of focus at the beginning, but I don't think it's anything too alarming, and, it really, really is difficult to get up for some of those games when you're playing an opponent like that who really hadn't won a game in a while. So, that's one of the really tough things to do as you get older is, believe it or not, as fun as running out of the tunnel is, you don't always have the butterflies like you did the first few times when you're playing a team like, Southern Miss or a team that maybe isn't quite as talented. So, that's just part of it, of being a pro and learning how to, focus on yourself and focus on getting better every week. And I was pleased with kind of the way we responded and did a good job in the second half.
When you don't get that start, because Alabama has, and this is me, this is a media analyst, so maybe you don't agree with this, but I go back to the Notre Dame game. Alabama won that game, for one, in the early part of the game, but also as Alabama walked out on that field pregame, the intimidation factor of looking at you guys and then looking at Notre Dame and going, I mean, these guys are so much bigger. It's the intimidation.
Well, I would argue that we won that game on film. I'm not being insulting Notre Dame. They were a really good team. It was just pretty obvious that I think to a lot of people that no football was going to happen. But continue.
No, I'm just saying the intimidation factor of seeing that crimson jersey, sometimes you guys win before the game started. And then when you have that knockout punch, it seems to be a strategy for Alabama. You come off hot and you realize, wow, this team is really as good as everybody thinks they really are. And that's why I look at the games that you guys were able to win. That was a part of the makeup of Alabama football. Hit them early, and we didn't do that Saturday.
There's no doubt. But, there's also a flip side of that coin, and that flip side is that every team knows that we're Alabama and really is going to give us their best shot. So a lot of teams come out extremely fired up and, probably had their best week of practice all year and come out and, try to give us their best shot early. And so I think also a part of being a good team is, kind of responding to that, settling down, and then kind of dominating as the game moves on. I can think of plenty of examples in college where, we were playing a team that wasn't so good but came out and played. They played so well early and, kind of gave us their best shot. And we they might have even scored an early touchdown or something like that. And I think back to the Florida game in 2012 when they came out the first drive and threw a long touchdown pass. We responded the right way. We stayed calm and stayed the course, and that's another mark of a good team.
how long can you play off of emotions? You always hear that, you know, bulletin board material or emotions of getting ready for Alabama or national championship or maybe even the revenge factor of coming back in 2009, trying to get the Gators that you let slip away from you in 2008. How long can you play off of emotions? Is that just a verbiage that we use incorrectly?
Well, I've always said I think emotions have more to do with practice. You know, I just think when you're emotional, you're going to practice harder, you know, and when when you read the bulletin board material, it might just motivate you out there. Cause I just think that once you get out on the field, I mean, I just can't think of any examples where I actually considered bulletin board material. You know, most of it is just kind of garbage that the media sort of twists anyways. No offense, Ryan.
Not us.
To your colleagues.
Yeah, right.
No, just not you. You're in a different class, but you know the types. And, yeah, I just think once you get out there, there's so much going on within the confines of the game that, you know, emotion just doesn't play into it. And that's one thing that Coach Saban actually always discouraged. You know, he always kind of discouraged us getting too emotional, just because I think when you're emotional, you're more prone to make mistakes. And when you make mistakes, obviously, that doesn't give you a good chance to win. So we always tried to kind of limit our emotions. And not that we didn't want to be fired up, you know, coming out. We certainly did. But just not to the point where we were so emotional and so excited that we were making mistakes out in the field. Because really, when it comes down to it, we turn on the film at the end of the day, it's all about execution.
Now I want to spend a little time, because it seems like every week I'm picking your brain. We talk about Alabama football. We talk about the upcoming game. But I want to go back to that film room, because you talked about it a couple of minutes ago. When you're breaking down film, I know the formulas of looking, okay, this is the lineup. But are you trying to pick up, as a guy that played tackle and you played several different positions on the offensive line, and you're trying to pick up a tendency of a pass rusher? Alabama's going to go up against a couple of very talented guys on Saturday afternoon. What are you looking for as tips in to try to slow them or look at their weakness? Help us understand film study when you're looking at technique on defensive linemen.
That's a great question, and that's I'll tell you exactly the process I go through now, and you know what I do now, and also kind of being a younger guy on an NFL team as a service to some of the older guys is I go through and I chart every pass rush move that the guy has made on third downs or, you know, second long, basically passing situations, and I chart that, and it enables you to see, you know, more of a pattern. And because every guy kind of has a favorite move, you know, that he really wants to go to. And so I chart it, and I chart the percentages. And you know, a lot of times what you find is you find that, you know, a certain guy likes to go inside a lot, you know, or he likes to, you know, rush outside mostly. And so when you know those things in the back of your mind, it really just kind of gives you more confidence, to be honest. And it gives you confidence. And, you know, one thing I noticed about defensive linemen especially is in what we would call gotta-have-it situations, where there's a big play in the game or, you know, something they really need to make a big play. A lot of guys have a certain move that they got to go to and got to have a situation. So I look for certain tendencies like that, and also any type of tell. You know, sometimes there's a tell in a guy's stance that might, you know, tell you he's going inside, or there's all kind of different keys that you can pick up on a guy if you watch him enough. But you also got to just get a feel for what type of player he is. You know, is he a high-motor guy, the guy that you really got to focus on finishing, not letting them make plays, you know, after, you know, late in the down? Or is he a guy who, if you kind of block him and get out on him, you know, is he going to kind of quit rushing a little bit? Or, you know, is he a guy that I need to step back a little bit? Or is he a guy that I need to jump in the pass protection game? So there's just a lot of things. Sorry if I went a little too detailed there.
No. I mean, I'm on the edge of my seat because I'm trying to learn more about the game of college football.
Those are the kind of things that I chart and give the guys a percentage about, you know, what this guy does, and you know, it's really just kind of statistics.
I love statistics, no doubt about it. Right now, Barrett Jones, two-time All-American inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. It's presented by Med Center in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, and also in Hoover, the Great Doctors, Urgent Care, Family Medicine. Barrett, what are the challenges of a quarterback that is so athletic like Blake Sims from the offensive line perspective? Because he may take off and run. And do you have to do something different when you've got an athlete like Blake Sims in the backfield? And how you have to be conscious of what he's going to do with the football if he rolls out and he's got a running lane.
You do, but I think it's an advantage as a blocker, and you know, to take a shot back at AJ. I think it'd be nice to have a guy who's a little, you know, swifter on his feet, you know, back there blocking. I always joke with the guys now, you know, you guys are lucky that you guys have that, you know. And now AJ did it. He had a great pocket presence, you know, where he really could kind of feel the pressure coming. And I think Blake does a great job of that too. You know, he seems to, you know, young quarterbacks, a lot of times you can really see him staring down the pressure and kind of getting affected when they feel guys around their feet. But Blake does a good job of being able to sense that pressure, you know, and keep his eyes downfield and make throws. And that's what all good quarterbacks like AJ, you know, like a lot of other guys are able to do. So that's a big thing. But having a running quarterback, I think, is an advantage, and especially a guy who understands when to run and when not to. And that's something that probably one of the things I've been the most proud of Blake is. He really kind of seems to have a pretty good idea of when to run, when to take off, and when to keep your eyes downfield and to, you know, be able to make a big play with your arm, you know, by getting out of the pocket. So that's a skill that he has, and then I think, you know, he'll continue to use throughout the season.
Mari Cooper right now leads the country in receptions. He's got 33 in the first three games. He's in the top five in most receiving categories. You played with him. You know what to expect. Did you see this coming from a guy like Amari Cooper opening up the season? Hopefully this will continue in SEC play.
I did. Yeah, I thought he would honestly have this kind of year last year just because I saw him day in and day out in practice and how dominant he was. And you know, he really, to me, seems to have a new attitude. And I'm not trying to imply that he had a bad attitude before, but just an attitude that every time he steps out in the field, you know, he's the best player out there, and he's trying to dominate the game and not just, you know, make a play here and there. Just the way he runs his routes, and he's an incredibly gifted route runner. If you ever watch him on film, man, he really just has a gift for running routes, and it's something that you can teach, but you can't teach it the way he does it, just because he just understands separation and how to get open. And you know, you wonder sometimes as a fan, you know, why do they throw it to this guy? Why does he always seem like he's open? You know, it's not coincidence. It's because of this, the caliber of routes these guys run. You know, it's just almost impossible to cover. And that's why, obviously, you know Mari has speed. But a little lot of guys that have speed, but there's not a whole lot of guys that have that route running ability. And so I just see a new attitude from him every time he steps foot on the field. You know, he's not trying to just kind of exist and make a few plays. He's trying to dominate the game, and he's been doing that so far.
Barrett Jones right now inside the game. Let me update folks on your progress as you continue to rehab a little bit of an injury. Talk about your progress and where you are with that.
Yeah, so I had back surgery a few weeks ago, and I'm doing really well and recovering, and it's actually a really minor deal, but I don't know exactly when I'll be back, but it should be pretty soon, and I'm feeling great. I feel better than I have in years, and looking forward to many more years of football.
And the St. Louis Rams got a big win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 19-17. So a big win there. And you know, DirecTV, I have DirecTV, and I subscribe to the Sunday Ticket, and you don't endorse them, but I wish we could create an Alabama channel where these players that played at Alabama, instead of like a Red Zone channel, I need to create an Alabama channel, because I'm always supporting. And I said, well, you know, I'm looking at the Rams, and I go, okay, and then I'm going to flip back. And then I was watching Rolando McClain at the Dallas Cowboys, and it seems like I just keep flipping and flipping and flipping, trying to support you guys on the next level, and certainly pulling for.
They're all over the place. I mean, it seems like every week I'm giving somebody a hug in midfield after the game, just because there is a lot of guys out there right now that are playing the league. So it's pretty cool to see that and kind of be a part of that legacy.
All right, Barrett, as we take a minute, and we get a lot of folks that are encouraged by things that you say, and a little bit of a scripture passage to encourage folks as we get through the week. It's Tuesday, got a couple of more days left. I'll turn it over to you to promote our Savior in Christ.
Well, absolutely. Thanks so much, Ryan. And tonight I want to read John 15, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he is one that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." the reason I love this verse, it's just such a good reminder that, you know, being a Christian, you know, doing the right thing, kind of the way we see it in the South, you know, it's really not what being a Christian is about. And in order for us to really be good, to truly be good, we must abide in Christ, because without the vine, which is God, you know, we're really nothing. And so it's just a daily reminder that, you know, if I ever try to rely on myself to do good things or to be a good person or to do any of that stuff, then I'm going to fall up short. But if I truly rely on the vine, which is God, and the way I rely on him is through, you know, every day going to him in prayer and reading the Bible and strengthening my walk with Christ and understanding that, you know, it's not me that does good, it's Christ in me. So that's one of my favorite verses.
Barrett, I have to write down the verse because throughout, as I travel throughout West Alabama, I have people that walk up to me, hey, I didn't hear Barrett. What was his scripture of the week this week? So certainly making a difference, and I appreciate you being part of the show. I really do, Barrett. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much, Ryan. Thanks for having me, and have a great night.
Hey, the next time you and I talk, we'll know more about this Crimson Tide team as we take the Florida Gators.
We will. I'm excited.
Me too. Thank you, Barrett. We appreciate you being part of the show.
Thanks, Ryan.
Barrett Jones, presented by Med Center here in Tuscaloosa, Urgent Care Family Medicine, the great doctors that I know I've worked with for a number of years when I was going through undergrad, but the great doctors of Med Center here in Tuscaloosa, open until 10 o'clock on 69 South, Northport on McFarland Boulevard, Demopolis, also that great location in Hoover, Alabama. Med Center in Tuscaloosa, 205-342-9904.